That we have the hope of eternal life because of him. So come, Lord Jesus, come. Come into our hearts, come into our homes, come. We welcome you. Come today, come now, come forever. And shower us with your love, Lord, because we know that it is because of your great love for us why we sent Jesus Christ. So speak now, Lord, because we're listening. Speak a word of hope, a word of love. And take hold of me, the preacher, and let me be the one that stands here and speak your word according to your will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And so here we are on the second Sunday of Advent. And we're either excited or weary. I don't know what's going on, but we're waiting. But folks are either excited or weary. You know why they're weary? Why are we weary? Shopping, right? I've not gone to the store to buy anything. Just leaving it up to you guys. Right? And so we're either excited or weary because we're waiting and expecting. Hopefully we're waiting and expecting first and foremost was what Jesus has told us to wait and expect for, right? And so let me begin. My sermon title today is There Is Work to Do. And I want to read this reflection, and it's called Collapsing the Distance Between Heaven and Earth. And it reads, at the annual conference of the United Methodist Church in Sierra Leone, West Africa, the meetings were held in the large sanctuary in the capital city, Freetown. Each day as we entered the large doors into the sanctuary, there was a young girl, maybe about the age of 8, who begged at the door. She looked ragged, dirty. Her hair was matted and knotty, and she had on tattered clothes. No one seemed to know her, and people brushed her aside upon entering. Some of the pastors tried to tell her to go away. We were busy doing the work of the church. She was a bother. This went on for several days. As I sat in the pew observing the conference one day, my peripheral vision caught some motion outside. I looked out the window, and there on the patio outside the sanctuary was a woman, a lay member of the conference. She found a bucket and soap, and some soap, and although dressed in a beautiful traditional tie-dye gown, she pushed up her sleeves and she was giving that 8-year-old girl a bath. She soaped her up. She soaped up her hair and was tenderly making her all clean and new. She washed the clothes the child had been wearing, and they were spread out on the bushes in the sun drying. The woman went out and got another dress for her to wear too. Hundreds of pastors and devoted laypersons poured into the Methodist Church of Freetown to do the work of the church. But outside, on the edges, quietly and without notice, the work of redemption, the work of Jesus Christ was being done. It was not the work of committees and reports and programs. It was the work of soap and water and human touch and being able to see the face of Jesus in that of an abandoned 8-year-old girl. There is work to do, friends. There is work to do in our hearts, and there is work to do in the church. Advent reminds us that we should not just get busy doing the work of the church. Get busy with the committees and the decorations, even though they're lovely and beautiful, because they remind us of that. But that there is the work of redemption which took place for us. That's why we're here, and that others need to know. On this second Sunday of Advent, we hear from the prophet Malachi. Do you know that during Advent, you know, if a lectionary preacher is good at all, we are going to look at the prophets. Because oftentimes we don't really preach the prophets. You know, every now and then, the prophets are spread throughout the lection year, but not as much as they are during Advent, right? And who are the prophets? Prophets were said to be the mouthpiece of God, right? They are the ones who would bring, prophets are the person chosen to speak for God and to guide God's people, Israel. And prophets should still speak now. We may not say they are prophets, but there should be those of us who God has called to serve Him and His people, who should be speaking the word. But we know that they are false prophets. They are people who don't preach the word, or when they preach it for their own self-edification. Right? We spend more time doing eisegesis, that means putting our own thoughts into our preached word, than we say exactly what the text says, and then shed light to it. So the prophets are very important, and during Advent we see it. The prophets are said to be divinely inspired by God. And just to take this to teach you a little bit for one moment on who the prophets are, because many of you, if you don't go to Bible studies, you're not being taught through the Old Testament, people don't know who the prophets are. Do you know that there are five prophetic books, but two of them we say were written by the same person. But there are four major prophets, right, or five major prophetic books. And they are major because of their volume, right? The volume of the information. Isaiah, book 1 and book 2, many chapters, right? So they're major because they write a lot. So we have Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, we believe written by, could have been Songs of Solomon, but I think it's Jeremiah. So you have Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentation, Ezekiel, and Daniel. They are the major prophets because they write a lot. And then we have 12 minor prophets. Right? Not because their work is unimportant, but because their books are smaller. They write less, right? There are 12 of them. When the kids are studying in true confirmation, you know, they sing this little song trying to study them. So we have Hosea and Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Abednego, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Right? Those are the minor prophets. And so today we are looking at Malachi. Last week we were heard from who? Jeremiah. Right? That we called a weeping prophet. And so the prophet came, and the prophet spoke to the people because the people were living in darkness. And they were what? Prophesying about the first coming of Jesus Christ. Now friends, there are prophetic voices going forth now, and they're prophesying about what? The second coming of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus already come, right? But He will come again, right? But we should be looking at and learning from what went on before. So through Advent, we look at the prophets, because what? We are reminded that the people were waiting, as the scripture will say, the people have walked in darkness, have seen a marvelous light. They were waiting and waiting and waiting for the Messiah, the one who would come. They were under bondage, right? And they were under physical bondage and also spiritual bondage, but they knew the physical bondage. They were under that, and the prophets would speak. This prophet would come. The message was, I would
use this word, and hopefully I'm using it in the right context, the message was kind of paradoxical in the sense that it was the prophet is coming, the Messiah is coming, good news is coming, but you got to do something. God is going to, God wants you to change. You know, stuff has to be done. You got to take a bath. Right? One preacher says, we got to be washed with soap. You know what your mother used to say when we were young? You say something bad and they said they're going to get the soap and wash your mouth out. Did anybody ever hear that? Is that still going on? Now they would arrest you for child abuse. But to thank God they weren't arresting anybody for child abuse because my mother would spend her life in prison. You know, she should be, yeah, should be there for a long time. Should be there, should be doing life. Huh? Because she was a little tiny woman, but she didn't mess around. Right? She'd still be in prison. Because she'd give you one little look and you couldn't dare say. People say, I don't cuss. I never, because I couldn't even, the thought of cussing, even now as grown as I am. You know, using those words that people worry about. Because it's years of not being able to say anything because you know what would happen. When my mother came, as I get back to the text, and she first came up here, she was, you know, older then, in late 60s, and she came up to America. When I got her up, and I said, and I was telling her something had happened, and I told her, oh, you can't say that to your children. Mom, you can't beat them. You can't slap them because you... She says, thank God you're all a grown, because I don't know what I'd do. Eh? So the prophets were like that. Because my mama loved me. But she was a little bit short lady. And if you start running when she's talking to you because you're thinking she'd be throwing a shoe at you, you'd be ducking. And she could move fast. See, the prophet is like that. You understand? It is about love, the coming of Christ. But you got to clean it up. You understand it? That's what it is. There's a good we're going to get. What do we say? We even take the gospel and the story, I mean, the scriptures, and we tell the children, if you've been nice, then Santa is going to be good to you. Isn't that what we say? Right? If you make your list, and if you're naughty and nice, or if you're naughty, you don't get anything, if you're nice, isn't that what we're saying? We're saying you got to clean up your act for the next couple of months if you want to get a gift. Well, the prophet comes, Malachi comes, and he gives us the word. This week we hear from Malachi, and the book of Malachi is fitting because the name means, Malachi means my messenger, the one who comes. And he's said to be the last prophet of the Old Testament who prepares for the coming of Jesus. You know, you remember that the chronological order that the Bible is in, or it's canonized, doesn't always mean that's the order that they spoke. You know that. It was canonized for a reason. So we believe that Haggai and Malachi, and I forget the other one, were the last set of prophets. And 400 years from Malachi to when Matthew, to when John the Baptist shows up on the scene, there were 400 years of not hearing a prophet. They call it the silent years. God had stopped speaking through the prophets. One would wonder what happened during the silent years. God had spoken to the 12 minor prophets and the 4 or 5 major prophets, and then 400 years of wait. They're waiting, and they've been waiting and waiting. And so here we come, and the prophet comes. And Malachi is considered to cover roughly 400 years. You know, he covers that period, and then it was finished. And then here comes John the Baptist. Now John the Baptist is going to come to prepare the way for the Lord. Right? He's going to come and he's going to speak. And that is what John the Baptist was born for. That's the only reason why he was born, to prepare the way. Like we have to prepare the way again for the coming of our Messiah. He's already here, but prepare our hearts. And so here we read in Malachi, it says, see, Jesus, he's now, remember now, think of Malachi the prophet. He's now speaking to the children of Israel. You see, he's speaking to them. They're in captivity. They've been going through a lot. By that time, they had gone to Babylonian captivity under Nebuchadnezzar. They had gone to Assyrian captivity. The Babylonians had taken them out of the land and brought them into Babylon. The Assyrians put them under bondage there in their own land. But they had gone through a lot of hardship because of disobedience and sin. Friends, we are going through a lot. You know, sometimes when I see terrible things happening in the world over and over again, I'll say to God, God, forgive us. Whatever we're doing, please, please forgive us. Do not turn your back on us. Do not take your hand from us, God, because we will die in our sin if you leave us alone. I'm praying for myself, but I'm praying for everybody. I'm praying for my grandchild. I'm praying for the future of my grandchild. Lord, have mercy upon us. I'm praying that she'll have a future. All right? Have mercy upon us. If we've sinned against you, God, if you're angry with us, whatever we, God, you promised you won't leave us alone. So this is what the prophet is saying to them. They're going through difficulty as he speaks to us today. So the prophet Malachi says today, he says here, see, I'm sending my messenger to prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to this temple. Can you imagine when the people hear those words? They've been waiting for generations. They had to wait much longer. Because no man, we said in our Matthew Bible study this morning, no man knows the hour, the minute, the second when God will appear. Our job is just to get ready. Be ready all the time. No one knows. God could come right now. Right? And so he's telling them, he says he could return. He says, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he's like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. See from the text. What does a refiner's fire do? It's what? It takes the metal, right? And it purifies the metal over and over again till it comes out like pure gold. Huh? When it's done with it, it's pure. So the Lord is telling us, listen, you gotta be refined. And the fuller soap, you know, fuller soap is an old soap. Could you imagine that when it washes, they should sell it now because we could use it to wash our clothes. Makes it clean. It's a word for us as you get ready for Christmas. Advent is a word of it's a time for repentance. And he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. That means God is not really, you know, excited about little gifts we wrap and all of that. Right? He's not excited, but we do it. We got you, we do it, but he's not excited about that. He doesn't need a gift to wrap up in a piece of paper. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Everything belongs to God. That's why when we die, we have to leave it. You know that's why when we die, we have to leave it, because he doesn't need it. Because if he needed it, wouldn't we bury it with us? All of our money, buried it with us. I heard a story that a woman told me this the other day. The husband had promised. He had a lot of money, and he asked her, he said, promise me that when I die, they had millions, you'll bury my money with me. Bury it all. When I die, get all the money I have, whatever it was, and bury it with me. I want to take it with me, whatever it was. But it's literal money he wanted buried. You know, people, you know, preachers make up stuff. Bury it with me. And then he died, and she wrote a check. And buried it with him. You know, she wrote a check and buried it with him. So all his money was buried with him. You understand what I'm saying? That's all he could carry. Some preacher told me that. Right? Buried it with him. So we are telling you, you're not bringing. So all of you think we're bringing all these lovely things we have. Somebody going to write a check and just put it in. That's all we're getting. Right? God is not interested. What he's interested in is in our heart. Another person I heard said the other day, Jesus is not the reason for the season. Right? We are the reason for the season. Each and every one of us. Because he was born for us. To die for us. We are the reason for the season. He is the answer. He's the answer, but we are each. He loved each and every one of us so much that we are the reason for the season. We who believe in Him are the reason for the season. Could we start a new slogan? I am the reason for the season. Jesus came into this world so that He could die for me and you, and that we have the hope of eternal life. I just heard that. Right? Isn't that awesome? I am the reason for the season. We want to keep Christ in the season. Right? And but he came for you and me. We are the reason where it is Christmas. Isn't that wonderful when you hear these things? Makes me want to dance. And so, he says, and when the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord in those days, old things will be gone and former things will come. And so here it is, the prophet Malachi raises the disturbing question for all who proclaim God's arrival with joyful expectation. And the question is, are you ready? Am I ready? Are you ready? That is the question. Right? Are we ready for Him to come now if He was a peer? Right? Do you know what it means? Who can endure it? In the prophetic tradition, the day of the Lord anticipates God's victorious kingship and His righteous judgment. But consequently, the prophets describe the day of the Lord with dramatic language. Right? And so we know that the Lord wants us to be ready. The Lord wants us to how do we ready ourselves? Is He talking about an outward physical readiness? No. He's talking about a heart change. There is work to do in our hearts. In the hearts of each and every one of us sitting here today, there is work to do. Not because we haven't murdered anybody lately. Not because we haven't robbed a bank. Please don't. I know we all are shopping and we may run out of money. Not because we haven't done something that but our hearts always need to be what? To be made ready. Ready for the coming of the Messiah. The gospel narrative, I'm focusing on the Old Testament today, but the gospel narrative is the thanksgiving that they're given in the Luke text that was read about thanking God for sending this blessed Savior. But first you have to prepare yourself to receive Him. So friends, during Advent season, we are supposed to be what? Preparing our hearts again. We should always be preparing our hearts, but we are reminded during Advent that we are looking to Jesus, His birth, and we need to prepare ourselves to get our hearts ready. Get our hearts ready to receive Him. Begin to reflect on ourselves and our lives. Right? Read our Bible. Pray. Take time out to pray and seek Him. It is not just about our shopping. He doesn't even ask us for all day long. You know, you could pray to Jesus for a few minutes and then shop for 5 hours. Isn't God good? He doesn't even put a time limit. Are you ready? Am I ready to receive Him? If He was to come now, if He was to show up now, are we ready to receive Him? Malachi proclaims that a holy messenger is on the way, and this announcement brings with it both a promise and a word of warning. This renewal comes through testing and cleansing. It is a refining fire that brings precious metal to light. We need to be ready. And then the purpose of divine judgment is to let us understand that God will judge His people. We want to believe that judgment doesn't happen, but judgment does. But God always warns His people. Always warns us. And the prophets are speaking now and speaking then. Get your hearts ready, friends. It is a time for restoration and renewal. Our preparations are often informed by our pastoral images of the sweet baby Jesus surrounded by choirs and angels and placid sheep around the manger. Jesus brings serenity and peace on earth, yes. This does not mean that Christ's presence of love changes. It doesn't mean that, but it means that we have to do the deep work. We have to do the deep work and look at ourselves. The good news is indeed that we will not be left unchanged. We must be changed by the coming of the Lord. Prepare the way, John the Baptist says. Prepare the way, the gospel says. Prepare your hearts, the gospel reminds us. Prepare your hearts again. Seek God. Ask Him to come into your heart. Ask Him to change you. We should all ask Him. Ask Him again, Lord, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart this day. Work through me. And you know, this is not an Advent song, friends, as I bring this to close. This is not an Advent song, but this is something we can say each and every day. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me. We want God to melt us. Melt me. Melt me, God. Whatever is in me that is blocking my relationship with you, melt me. And then, God, mold me. Mold me after your will, God Almighty. Mold me. And then fill me again. Fill me, Lord, and use me. Use me for your will. That's a modern day song to what the messenger is saying. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Friends, we have an opportunity to say that to the Lord. To say again to the Lord, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. During this Advent season, I remind you that you should do self-reflection. Look at your life. I should look at my life. See where I'm falling short. And ask God to come into our hearts. Change our hearts. So that we can be ready if He comes. The prophet reminds us and asks the question, are you ready? John the Baptist says, prepare the way. Let us prepare our hearts for Him. And so I want you to say after me today, as you close your eyes, just repeat these words. Spirit of God.
Spirit of God.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Melt me.
Melt me.
Mold me.
Mold me.
Fill me.
Fill me.
And use me.
And use me.
I am yours.
I am yours.
Always.
Always.
And forever.
And forever.
Amen.
Amen.
As we invite Jesus into our hearts. Amen.